Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. We'll be reading from verse 36. And I invite you to come with me this morning to that place where life's perplexities are solved, to that place where the burdens of the soul roll away, that place that is the most blessed place in all of God's universe. And I am speaking of that place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah said, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of that one who brings good tidings." And we want to think about this place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's at this place we learn many great lessons, one of which is the all-sufficiency of our wonderful Lord and Savior. It is at His feet that we learn that He is greater than our sins. He is greater than our service. He is greater than our sufferings. He is greater than self. Van Tavner, who is from Greensboro, North Carolina, by the way, Van Tavner said, "You don't fully realize He is all you need until you come to that place He is all you have. And then He's all you want." And we learn many wonderful lessons at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is there that we learn His greatness. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him, and He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden Him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.'" Would you come down, please, to verse 45. The Lord Jesus, in rebuking Simon, said, "Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And He said unto her, 'Thy sins are forgiven.'" It is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that we learn that He is greater than our sins. This story is familiar to many in this auditorium. We have here the story of this immoral woman, the woman of the streets. This woman with whom many would have nothing to do, but this woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that she was a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Whether we are up and out, whether we're down and out, we're all sinners. But what a tragic story these words would unfold. She was a sinner. What a tragic story. And her sins were many. The Lord Jesus said that. How many sins do you think it would take to keep a person out of heaven? If your answer were one, then you would be correct. And all of us would have to confess we are guilty of so many sins we couldn't number them. But oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than our sins. And I would invite you to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I would invite you to consider Him, to behold Him, to consider those wounds in His feet, in His hands. that wound in his side and realize that he shed his precious blood for you, and his precious blood will cleanse you from all sin. This woman came because her need was great. There were those who mocked. Simon said within himself, if he knew what manner of woman this was, what manner of woman. The wording there doesn't mean what kind of. The wording actually means of what country, which sounds to be somewhat strange. Of what country? That's the meaning of those words, what manner of. We find those words in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 27, where his disciples said with astonishment, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? As if to say, this man is from a country that we know nothing about, that he can speak with such authority, and even the winds and the sea obey him. What manner of man is this? John uses the words in his first epistle, chapter 3, and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? The love wherewith God has manifested to us and bestowed upon us is a love from another country. We know of no such love in our country. Oh, what manner of love he hath bestowed upon us. And the Apostle Peter, writing in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, speaking about those things that are going to come upon this world in a future time, says, in view of all of this, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conversation? What manner of persons ought we to be? Those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are to realize that we are citizens of another country. Our citizenship is in heaven. And in view of that, what manner of people ought we to be? And so Simon said within himself, if he knew what manner of woman this was that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. There were those who would have nothing to do with this immoral woman. When one falls, the oppressors are many, the helpers are few. But this woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ because her sins were many. And she came to the Lord Jesus Christ because she was convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ could do something about her sins. She was made to realize that the Lord Jesus is greater than her sins. I remember visiting in a hospital on one occasion in Greensboro. One of our ladies from the fellowship there was in the hospital, and my wife and I went to visit with her. In that same room was a lady who was deeply troubled. And as she listened to us talk about the things of the Lord and have prayer, she began crying. She wanted to talk with me, which she did. And she poured out her heart to me, and she said that years ago, a preacher told her that because of a certain sin which she had committed, she could never be forgiven. And oh, that dear woman sat there that day and she wept. And she said, he told me I could never be forgiven. And I had that woman turn in the Bible to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Perhaps this was one of the portions I had heard to turn to also, I'm not sure. But the Lord Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And I will never forget the joy and delight that her face manifested as she considered those words from 1 John chapter 1, the blood of Jesus Christ, his, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. She looked at me and she said, but that preacher said, I said, but what does the Word of God say? Oh, she said, well, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth me from all sin. I said, well, you take God at His word. Her sins were many. Oh, but it was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ she heard those words, thy sins are forgiven. How many were forgiven? All of her sins were forgiven. The songwriter said, I tried in vain 1,000 ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise, but what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. Though some should sneer and some should blame, I'll go to Him because His name above all names is Jesus. And though there were the oppressors, though there were the mockers, those that would have nothing to do with this woman, who would not come in contact with her whatsoever, though they said, as they looked down their noses at this woman, as Simon did, that this woman is from another country beneath our recognition, the Lord Jesus said to her, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And it was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that this one learned His greatness, that He is greater than our sins. Am I speaking to someone this morning who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? If you have never trusted Him, my friend, just one sin would keep you out of heaven. You're guilty of many. But, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ calls to you, as He called to this woman, come to me. She came, and she received forgiveness. You will receive the same, regardless of what others might think. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow before Him, and realize that He shed His precious blood for you. He died for you. He paid an infinite price for you. You might think, well, it sounds too simple. I remember reading about G. Campbell Morgan preaching in Europe on one occasion, and he was preaching in a coal mining area, and he was preaching about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man came to him after the service, and he said, preacher, I cannot accept what you said tonight. You make it sound too simple. You put it as if there is nothing for us to do. And G. Campbell Morgan said, that is absolutely correct. He paid it all. Oh, he said, I cannot accept that. I believe that we must do something for our salvation. G. Campbell Morgan asked the miner if he were in the mine that day. The miner said, yes, I was. How far down were you? And the miner told him what level he was working on. And Brother Morgan said, how did you get out of the mine? Well, he said, I got on the lift and came to the surface. How much did you pay? How much did I pay? I didn't pay anything. You mean to tell me you were that far down in the earth, down in the blackness of darkness, in that mine, and to come out of that place, all you had to do was to get on the lift and you paid absolutely nothing? Why, of course not. Oh, he said, I cannot accept that. What do you mean you cannot accept that? Well, it sounds too cheap to me. All you had to do was to get on the lift and come out. Too cheap, he said. Do you realize what it cost the company to sink that shaft and put that lift down there? And as he spoke, he realized what he was saying. Listen, my dear friend, salvation is free not because it's cheap, but because it's paid for. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come as you are. Come with all of your sins. They'll all be forgiven. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that this dear woman was made to realize the greatness of our blessed Savior. He is greater than our sins. Turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We read about Mary three times in the Word of God. This is one of them, of course. And each time we read about Mary, we find her at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Here she is sitting at his feet, hearing his word. The Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. As prophet, he came to reveal. As priest, he came to redeem. And as king, he will one day come to reign. And here we find Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet, hearing his word. Martha is troubled. She is cumbered about much serving. The Lord Jesus Christ will reward service. But he would rather have us occupied with him than to be occupied for him. I have been saved 25 years. It was in the latter part of 1954 that I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Shortly thereafter, my wife receive Christ. I used to think that religion was for elderly people, elderly ladies and little girls particularly, nothing he-man about it. And so when our daughter came along, I was made to realize that, well, I need to give her some training. I should set some kind of an example. I should take my little girl to Sunday school. So 25 years ago, we started going to a little meeting back in Richmond, Virginia, my hometown, Grace Gospel Chapel, and there I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And as I said, shortly thereafter, my wife was saved. And I have been learning in these 25 years, and I am still learning, that our service for the Lord will be as effective as our occupation with him. Now, that sounds very simple. That sounds very basic. And yet, I believe it is a lesson that many of us have difficulty in learning. Mary served, but she also sat at Jesus' feet. Now, never accuse Mary of not serving. We are inclined to think, well, Martha served and Mary sat. But the Word of God says that Mary also sat at Jesus' feet, which leads me to believe that she served as well, but she also sat at Jesus' feet. She was made to realize that sitting at his feet was far more important than serving him a meal. The Lord Jesus wasn't concerned about that meal that Martha was so taken up with. The Lord Jesus had said to his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 4, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And though Martha was taken up with that meal, The Lord Jesus was not concerned about that meal, but I'm sure he was pleased to have Mary sitting at his feet, hearing his word. And this is a difficult lesson for us to learn, or a lesson that we have difficulty in learning. That the Lord Jesus Christ has more to say to us and to do in us than to say through us and to do by us. Shall I repeat that? The Lord Jesus has more to say to us and to do in us than to say through us and to do by us. And it is so easy in this world in which we live, where everything is instant. I was saying earlier that we're living in a heat and eat, a brown and serve, a chill and pour, sip and dip type of world. Everything is instant. We have more time-saving devices than at any other time in human history, and less time. If we only had more time. We don't need any more time than we have to do the will of our Heavenly Father. But we need to learn certain lessons, and we can learn them only at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is at his feet that we not only learn that he is greater than our sins, but it is at his feet that we learn that he is greater than our service. I remember reading some time ago a little booklet entitled My Heart, Christ's Home, written by Bob Munger. Maybe you've read it. And Bob Munger takes as his text Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. And Bob Munger likens the believer to a house where the new master comes into the house and he wants to take over. He wants to change every room. He starts with the kitchen, a new menu, the living room, and on throughout the house. The master, the new master, came to the hall closet. And there were some stinking things in that hall closet. And the new master said, I must transform the hall closet as well. And the one who had invited the new master in said, oh no, you can't go in there. I have some things that I'm ashamed of. You can't go into the hall closet. And the new master said, I must be Lord of all. And finally the man broke down and confessed, there are some things in there that I have not been able to take out myself. And the new master said, let me take them out. And so he changed the hall closet as well. But how impressed I was when I read about the drawing room, as he spoke of it. We don't hear so much about that today. We might speak of it as the family room. The new master had expressed his desire to this one that they meet together every day for a time of fellowship. And the man agreed. And things went well for a while. Every day, the man would go into the family room there and spend time with the new master. But his busy schedule got the best of him. And so it got to a point where day after day, he would simply run out of the house into the busy activities of the day. And he left off that time with the new master in the family room. Excuse me. And then one day he was rushing down the stairs and he looked into the family room and there he saw the master. And he went in with his head hanging down and he was so ashamed and he looked at the master and said, have you been here all the time? And the master said, yes, I have. I've been waiting for you. Remember, when I first came in to this house, we agreed that we would meet together every day and have this quiet time. And I told you how that I would be looking forward to this time with you, to just talk things over, to just have a sharing time. But you see, you have become so busy. You're so busy. Your problem is that you are looking upon this time with me as a factor in your own spiritual progress, and you fail to realize what this quiet time means to me. Well, as I said, as I read that, what an impact it had upon me, because I knew I was guilty. So busy. And busy in the things of the Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." We can be abounding in the Lord's work and not be abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10 said to the Christians at Philippi, as he spoke about his prayer for them, he said, "I pray that you might be able to approve things that are excellent." And that word approve means to discern, to discriminate. You know, it calls for no real discernment to judge between good and bad. It's amazing how unsaved people can tell us, to some extent, what's good and what's bad. But now when it comes to judging between the good and the best, that calls for real spiritual discernment. You see, we could go pack our bags right now and go to Ecom Secom, Nova Scotia, and maybe anyone here from Ecom Secom? We can pack our bags and go to Ecom Secom, Nova Scotia and serve the Lord. We can be abounding in the Lord's work anywhere we choose to go. But we can be abounding in the work of the Lord in only one place. And that's where He wants us. And so it calls for real discernment to judge between the good and the best. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And though God wants us to serve Him, and He will reward our service, we need to learn some lessons which can only be learned at His feet. So far as answering the question, shall I serve the Lord? That calls for no discernment. Of course we are to serve the Lord. The Word of God is quite clear about that. Now when it comes to answering the questions, how shall I serve the Lord? Where shall I serve the Lord? That calls for discernment. And these are things that can only be determined. These are things that can only be learned at His feet. And so here we have Mary sitting at the feet of the prophet, waiting at His feet to hear His word. And Mary was learning the lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ was not only greater than our sins, but He is greater than our service. Would you turn over, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 11? John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 20. "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever Thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Come down, please, to verse 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Here we read about Mary once again at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whereas in Luke chapter 10 she was waiting at the feet of the prophet to hear his word, we now read of her sitting at the feet of the priest to receive his sympathy. She's weeping at his feet. You know, it's wonderful to have the great high priest there in the presence of God for us. One who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There have been those who have said the Lord Jesus Christ could have sinned. I do not believe that for one minute. And Hebrews chapter 4 is a portion to which some will go. And this verse that I have referred to, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Well, the word there is our weaknesses. You see, so far as our weaknesses are concerned, we have a great high priest. So far as our sins are concerned, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We should never go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say words like these, Lord, I have sinned today. I have failed. I have sinned, but you know what that's like. No, he doesn't. He doesn't sympathize with us in our sins. He sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. You see, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I feel so alone in a crowd. He could say, when I was there, they all forsook me and fled. I know, I understand. Or we could say to him, Lord, it seems that I'm going without the bare necessities of life. He could say, I know all about that. When I was there, the birds of the air had their nests, the foxes had their holes. I had nowhere to lay my head. I know all about that. Or we might talk about physical suffering. He could say, I know all about that too. And so the Lord Jesus came. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had died. Martha said, I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God. I understand that this word ask is one of several that is used in the New Testament scriptures. And I am thinking of two words particularly, one of which would be used by a person on a lesser level or in a lesser position than the one to whom the petition is made, as a subject would present a petition to a king, and the subject would ask something of the king. Another word is used, rendered ask, that would convey the thought of the one who is doing the asking is on the same level as the one to whom the petition is made, as one king would ask the favor of another king. And it's word number one that Martha used. Had she spent more time at his feet, perhaps she would have used the other word. But here is Mary, weeping at the feet of the priest to receive his sympathy. And he wept. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, is he not? But Mary was made to realize that this blessed one is greater than our sorrows. Whatever we might encounter, whatever difficulties we might face, I realize it's easy to pat someone on the back and say, well, brother, sister, remember all things work together for good to them that love God, and off you go. And I realize that we have difficulty in sympathizing one with another. We all have a course to pursue. We all have a race to run. And it's an obstacle course. And it is true that you're going to face obstacles that I cannot sympathize with you in, and vice versa. Oh, but there's one to whom we can go, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. and we have his sympathy. So Mary sat at the feet of the prophet, waiting to hear his word. She sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, weeping to receive his sympathy. Turn over, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she learned many wonderful lessons. She sat at the feet of the prophet, waiting to receive his word. She sat at the feet of the priest, weeping to receive his sympathy. She sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, worshiping, because she knew he was Lord of all, the King of glory. The Lord Jesus rebuked Judas by saying, Leave her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. When I read that, the question entered my mind, well, why didn't she keep it until that time? If she were saving this ointment for the day of his burying, then why didn't she save it until that day? Why give it to him now? He's still alive. Because she had learned many wonderful lessons at his feet. I believe it was at his feet that Mary was made to realize that in a coming day all the redeemed are going to be gathered around himself, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And she was made to realize if he's going to be worthy then, he's worthy now. And I'll give it now. She was made to realize that this blessed one is greater than self. And I'll give him my all. My dear friend, do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than your sins? Have you come to him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Can you say all of your sins are gone? He's greater than your sins. Have you learned, dear friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than your service? Have you learned that he's greater than your sorrows? Have you learned that he's greater than yourself? He's Lord. And may we give him that place of preeminence that he desires, that he demands, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And let us realize, as did Mary, if he's going to be worthy then, when we're all gathered home around himself, if he's going to be worthy then, he's worthy now. I'll give to him my all. Shall we pray? Now, Father, we thank thee for our time together around thy word, occupied with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we confess to Thee that our real problem is not that we need to learn deeper truth. We'll be learning for all eternity. That is true. But we realize and readily confess to Thee that our real need is that oftentimes we do not put into practice what we do know. Father, we pray that we will be occupied with a living, glorified Lord this day, that in all things He might have the preeminence. We pray in His name. Amen.